Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm not a huge fan of book jackets. For the most part, book jackets are a nuisance, and unless they are stunningly beautiful or simply must be kept in order to enhance the value of a rare first edition, my tendency when I get a new book is to take off the book jacket and send it to the nearest paper recycling bin. You may wonder why I'm talking about book jackets. So what? Indeed, yeah, so what? But bear with me for a second. I think there's something here. Recently, while I was in Virginia, I happened to come across a book, a cookbook, that I wanted, and since the price was right, I bought it. What happened next? You guessed it. I took off the book jacket. But this time, when I did so, I discovered something that made me pause. Book jacket and the cover of the book were printed in precisely the same manner. It was like seeing double. My first thought was a practical one. Why on earth would the publisher bother going through all the trouble and expense to make a book jacket if it looks exactly like the cover itself? Also, naturally, because I'm kind of a poet and a preacher, and just because I can't help myself, I also started thinking about this in a kind of theological way, and it occurred to me that this idea that what is on the inside is exactly the same as what is on the outside is a rather troubling notion. I don't like this idea. It bothers me. The mere possibility that the outside and inside are identical undermines the whole notion of religion. If our outside and our inside were the same, I think we would be kind of solid, kind of hard. If the outside and inside were the same, we would be invulnerable to change. I don't like this at all. Religion is not like this. Religion is wrinkly. It's vulnerable. Religion is based on the idea that what is inside is more complex, more mysterious, and ultimately more rich than what is on the outside. Inside, rich. That is a very religious idea. Hidden inside us is a storehouse of possibility. This is a very religious idea. The things that we uncover through struggle offer us the possibility of transformation. This is what religion is all about. Luckily, I don't think that there is really much possibility that this idea that the outside and the inside are identical could ever really threaten the nature of religion. Because, after all, there is nothing about our insides that resembles our outsides. We are organic creatures, and both physically and spiritually, I believe, we are by nature much more complex on the inside than we are on the outside. What's more, we are never the same from one day to the next. Each day we are more experienced, more gray, more wrinkly, and hopefully a little wiser than the day before. I have to tell you that I recently had the profound good fortune to be present when an absolutely delightful human being named Nikki Giovanni gave an online poetry reading. I don't know if you folks know about Nikki Giovanni, but if you don't, you should. She's wonderful. The community college that sponsored the event recorded it. So I could go back and get the quote for you, word for word, the one that I wanted. And right after she was introduced, Nikki said this. She said, "Thank you very much for that fine introduction." She said, "I'm delighted to be here." She said, "I am 77. I'm going to be 78. And I recommend it. For all of you who are young, I know that you can't help it. And so we're hoping that you're just going to get through it. There's nothing worse than being a teenager, and there's probably very little worse than being in your mid-20s. I definitely recommend 50, because by then, the children are pretty much out of the house, or should be, and your home is mostly paid for, your car is paid for, the dog has its shots, and so things are moving along pretty well. You have someone to love. I recommend old age. I think it's a lot of fun, and I want you to take care of yourself so that you can reach it." I love this. It's so refreshing to hear from someone who is living fully into what they have become, or rather, what they are becoming. Nikki Giovanni is not fighting to stay young. She is enjoying being old. The complexity that is within her is shining out of her. Religion is not about outward appearance. It's about inner depth. Each of us has a reservoir of spirit deep inside us that ripples outward when a child drops a pebble in. We are not hard, impervious objects, perfectly smooth. Thanks be to God, we are not hard. We are soft. We are unfinished. We are in process. We are becoming. This, in turn, reminds me of a story that my father told me a few months before he died. Luckily, I was filming him when he told me this story, so again, I can quote it word for word. "Long ago," he said, "I went to Rangoon in Burma. In the countryside, I saw a huge tree. It was a hot day. Three mothers sat in the shade of the tree, breastfeeding their babies. What a beautiful sight. This was a picture that God drew. This picture represents the gospel. Thoughts should be soft. Soft thoughts start by embracing relationships first. That big tree was creating soft shade for those mothers. The mothers, in turn, nourished their babies, cradling them to their breast." It makes me soft just reading it again and remembering his words. Not only are we deep, mysterious creatures, we are also soft. To be soft is to give and to be given to. This is indeed a picture that God drew. God is in the blessed respite of the shady tree. God is in the infant's hunger. God is in the relationship, the love. God can draw because we are soft, because we are unfinished, mysterious, and beautiful creatures who thrive because of relationship. We live because we love, and this is all the faith that we need. God, who came and walked among us as a young Jewish man, was not hard. He was soft in the sense that he had an instinct for relationship. Time and again, his actions showed that he was happy to break the rules if the rules were acting to separate him from the people that he encountered. Yes, he ate with tax collectors and prostitutes, even though doing so provoked the displeasure of those around him. When he healed people, it did not matter to him who the person was, what station they held, or even who their parents were. The same softness, however, could not be said for many of the people that he ran into in his journeys. An example is from today's reading of the folks in his hometown. They were hard. They got all bent out of shape about him. They thought, isn't he just that guy? Isn't this his brother and his sister? When did he get to be so big for his britches? This faithlessness was a kind of hardness. It was a way that the people in his hometown could dismiss the truth that came from him. They didn't see him. They didn't judge him for the content of his character. They judged him based on their preconceived idea of who they thought he was. Jesus called that faithlessness. What might we call it? Today is the 4th of July. It's the second time this year that a holiday has actually happened on the day, on the Sunday. The first time was we had Valentine's Day on Transfiguration Sunday. I don't know if you remember that. Here we are on Sunday, and it is the 4th of July. And on the 4th of July, we celebrate the birth of our nation. We sing patriotic songs, or hum them, rather. On this date, in 1776, that is 245 years ago, a group of men who we have come to know as the Founding Fathers, gathered in Philadelphia and signed the Declaration of Independence. And in that declaration, the Founding Fathers wrote the following famous words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." On the surface, these words sound pretty perfect. But they were not perfect. They needed to become more perfect. When he was challenged to address the question of race during the 2008 presidential election, then Senator Barack Obama pointed out that the document that they had produced was eventually signed, but ultimately it was unfinished. Unfinished. It was stained by this nation's original sin of slavery, a question that divided the colonies and brought the convention to a stalemate until the founders chose to allow the slave trade to continue. The history of the United States, Obama said, is the history of an experiment in human dignity that began with those high principles but did not live up to them. The history of the United States is the history of a nation that has for 400 years, has been gradually becoming more perfect, a more perfect union. But we're not there yet. The job is unfinished. And we won't get there until all men and all women, regardless of who their parents were, how they arrived on these shores, who they love, what gender they express, and whether they move on their feet or on wheels, can all be accorded the dignity of being called sacred children of God. We won't get to a perfect union if we are hard. We won't get there if we are invulnerable. To fully accept the sacred dignity of another person is to be soft. To recognize and honor the complex depths and be nourished by them. And what can we do? What can we do? What did Jesus do? It's always worth considering what Jesus did. What did he do when he encountered that hardness? The text said that he could do no deed of power. Okay, so then what did he do if he could do no deed of power? Well, what do you know? He asked for help. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have all, you and I, have all been called. Called and sent out two by two to encounter and to soften the souls that we encounter. Called not only by our God, but also by the high ideals of our founding of this nation. To bring about a more perfect union. To make a picture that God drew. Amen.